delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses.
33 after the hour on this Wednesday. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you on board. We're going to talk about self-defense here for a moment. Take a little tour on one of the back roads here for a moment. Talk about self-defense. My next guest here, very accomplished, Major General Bruce Lawler, former CIA case officer, former trial lawyer, first chief of staff for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, former Virginia Tech professor, and retired Major General in the U.S. Army, who has also had a lifelong interest in personal self-defense. General, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. You know, over the course of the last 20 or 25 years, more and more states have made concealed carry licenses legal, and which has brought up all of these questions of stand your ground, the castle doctrine. When should you use deadly force? When you shouldn't? You have a new book, When Deadly Force Is Involved, a look at the legal side of stand your ground and whether or not I have a duty to retreat. And all of these questions are out there, General. If I'm threatened, or my family's threatened, or a complete stranger is threatened, do I not have the right in all cases to step up and protect that person? What are the rules?
Well, there's a number of them, and they all have to coalesce, as you might expect, at the same time. But generally, you can. The question, of course, is when is it permissible to use the firearm in self-defense? And so you sort of start out with a number of quick questions. Has the individual, the shooter, if you will, in any way provoked the confrontation? Is he in any way responsible for the encounter and the escalation of ill will? That's an issue. What's the deadly threat? What does it look like? It has to be something that's perceivable, that other people would say, yeah, that's certainly threatening somebody with death or serious bodily injury. How soon is imminent? The threat has to be imminent. It has to be about to occur. Can't be next week. Can't be sometime later on. It has to be right now, in your face kind of thing. What is it reasonable for you under the circumstances to be afraid, to fear that you're about to lose your life? And is there any alternative that you have available to you to avoid having to use deadly force? Those are kind of the general concepts that govern it. And the overarching question whenever deadly force is employed is the law will look to see if it was really necessary. Is it really necessary for someone to die because you had to use deadly force to protect yourself from danger? So all of the questions are focused on trying to look at that issue of necessity.
So, all right. So here's, in fact, this is from Michigan where I live. The idea of a man's home is his castle came from a case more than 100 years ago when a guy kept getting robbed by one of his neighbors and finally said, I don't have to put up with it. And he shot the man and he was charged with a crime. And then the judge basically said, you can defend your property. Is that still true? Because if it's not an imminent threat, can I defend my property my place of residence? How far does that go?
Yeah, the castle doctrine is an interesting doctrine because virtually every state in the nation has one, and they're all pretty much the same, which is sort of an offshoot of a stand-your-ground statute. It basically says inside your home, you can stand your ground when threatened and defend it against invaders. And that's pretty clear. Where it begins to blur a little bit is different states have different definitions of what constitutes the home. So, and I'm not familiar with exactly Michigan's statute, but for example, one state might have defined the home as just the dwelling part inside the house. Another state might include in the home the porch around the house. Another state might include an attached garage. So it the area of coverage where you may stand your ground and resist varies. And that's really the major issue with stand your ground. Now, protecting property, again, it becomes a question of where the coverage is. So if there is an invader in your home, Then the answer is likely you will be in a position of deadly threat. But if the invader is on your property somewhere far away from the home and doesn't present you with a physical danger, that you're not in danger, you're looking out the window and seeing somebody on your lawn swiping a lawn chair or something, at that point in time, the question starts to arise, is there an alternative to the use of deadly force, and what would be the most reasonable alternative? And so then you get into a question of, well, is it more reasonable for you to arm yourself and go outside and confront that person over the lawn chair, or is it more reasonable for you to call a sheriff and let him try to work it out? That's the kind of questions you get involved in that scenario.
General Bruce Lawler here on the Steve Gruber Show. Let's make it not a lawn chair. Let's say it's a prized 1965 Mustang in mint condition that they're trying to steal. I mean, does the value of the object that's in question change the situation, or do you have to weigh all these options? And you have to weigh these things pretty quick in your head. Do you weigh the options and makes no difference the value of the object?
Well, I won't say it makes no difference, because every fact will have a bearing on the outcome, and to some extent, what you're dealing with now is the perceptions of the jury in your locality. In other words, what usually happens with these things is, if there has to be a question about whether your conduct was reasonable or not, whether there was a reasonable alternative to the use of deadly force, the state, all states, they crowdsource it. They crowdsource the answer. They get a bunch of people together from the community and they say, what were the facts and what do you think was reasonable under the facts?
But you made a point there, General. I want to jump in because you made the point that I needed to make earlier. Make no mistake, if you pull the trigger, even if you are 100% justified, if you pull the trigger and kill someone, the first thing that's going to happen is you are going to be arrested. I can 100%, you're going to have handcuffs on almost invariably, and then you'll have to go through the process of proving that you were justified in doing so. Do you think that's a fair guess?
I think that's a fair guess. I mean, it's pretty clear that anyone who's involved in a deadly incident is not going to get to be the final judge of what the facts were and what was reasonable under the circumstances. That's just the way the law works. Somebody else is going to make that decision. Prosecutors, police, juries, they're going to be looking at your conduct and behavior, and they're going to be looking at the nature of the threat, and then they will make a decision as to whether you acted properly. And that's the way our system works.
That's right. You're going to jail, though. If you commit homicide, whether it's justifiable or not, in the first few hours, the police are going to take you into custody, because that's what they need to do to make sure that everything was on the up and up, if you will. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word, General, and then we'll talk and I'll tell people where to find your book.
Well, first of all, I thank you for having me, and what we're trying to do here is help people think their way through the idea of using a firearm for self-defense, and so we address many of those questions that I talked to you about. What is deadly force? How soon is imminent? What's a deadly threat? And that kind of thing. What's misbehavior on the part of the shooter? So we think it'll be helpful for people possessing a firearm for self-protection.
There you go. General Lawler's new book is called When Deadly Force is Involved, a look at the legal side of Stand Your Ground, Duty to Retreat, and Other Questions of Self-Defense. When Deadly Force is Involved, that's the book. General, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's the Steve Gruber Show. We're going to talk about some other things that are of interest to you and your family, including radon gas and how to protect yourself from the number two cause of lung cancer in America. We'll do that right after the break.